Welcome to the Average Nobodies Podcast, the ultimate home for wrestling enthusiasts, beer drinkers, movie quoters, and pop culture connoisseurs. Here are your hosts, Matt and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. What's up?
Welcome to the Average Nobodies Podcast. I gotta say, I love the new intro.
This is fantastic. We're really stepping up our game here at the Average Nobodies. Both of the Average Nobodies podcasts now have intros.
Fresh official intros.
We're so fresh official. We're so fresh official. Oh my God, my brain.
That's your word. You can't say it.
Official. We're sitting at this brand new table that was crafted this week.
Beautiful table.
I gotta give a shout out to Rhode Island Collision for helping me finish it. So
real classy establishment over there.
Real good guy down there, Tom Vieira. Tell him. I don't know. You don't have to tell anybody he sent you. He'll still take your business. Doesn't need to be recommended. Yeah, this feels good. This feels right.
It does.
You're a little farther away than normal.
Yep, which is good.
But I feel like we're in the Sirius XM studio right now.
This
I feel
really
like we're
cool.
Broadcasting live to like a million people.
I think the next thing is a retractable roof.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we can make that work. Although my bed's right above the ceiling.
That's okay.
So we'll have to work on that. Yeah. We'll just get a drill. And we'll drill right up through Schwartz's room.
Till he can't go anymore.
Till he sees stars. So, yeah. So, we're back. We were here last week. We're back again this week. We're back on the normal schedule. Very exciting news this week. The Bucks are finally going to be coming into everybody's living room every week. Which is not for football. Well, for football.
Yeah.
But for HBO's Hard Knocks. So I'm very excited for this because as a Bucks fan, I don't get to see my boys play all the time. I have the option if I want, I can go out to the bar and watch a game. But a lot of times, it's not the best way to watch a football game, especially if you're a diehard fan of that. You know what I mean? That team. Like, I've been out to bars before. Where I went to a Monday Night Football game at the bar. I don't know if you remember the Ice House down Middle Springs.
Yes.
I went to the Ice House for a Monday Night Football game. It was the Colts. And the Bucs. It was the year that Peyton Manning was hurt, so he wasn't playing at all.
Minor detail.
I went in there, and it was only on one TV, and they didn't have the volume on. They had music playing in the
restaurant. See, that's my biggest pet peeve with watching football games at bars. I need the volume on.
Yeah.
There's too many things that are happening.
That's okay.
That's my computer. There's too many things that are happening, especially now with penalties, TV timeouts. I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, no.
It takes you out of the game.
You absolutely need to know what's going on the TV. That's unforgivable, not having the volume on at a sports bar, too. It's not like this place was like, you know, it's not like I'm going up Federal Hill to a nice Italian dinner. This is the Ice House.
It's a bar,
and they have multiple. When you have more TVs than just behind the bar, you should have whatever's on those TVs playing and thing. So anyway, I digress. The Bucks are on Hard Knocks. This is awesome. It's a great time for the Bucks to be selected for Hard Knocks. I wrote in a blog this morning that I've been begging, and they've always been like kind of like teased as the team that was going to be on Hard Knocks, you know, because back when they had Raheem Morris, like the youngest coach in the league,
mm-hmm.
it, like that was a compelling thing, like him and Josh Freeman, because Josh Freeman was just new into the league and hadn't been, you know, rest his soul.
Oh, to be young and Josh Freeman.
And then you have like. You get rid of Josh Freeman, and now you have Greg Schiano, and Greg Schiano did not want to do Hard Knocks because he was like kind of like a no-nonsense type of coach. I don't think really Lovie Smith
It'd be like Bill Belichick doing.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah,
he's
totally.
He's under that.
He's the
wing.
Exact
I mean,
same.
He's not as skilled as Belichick, but he's not the type of guy that's like, bring the cameras into my practice, see how the sausage is made.
No, but he would not allow that. So Greg Schiano didn't want to do it. Granted, there wasn't really anything special going on. When he was there, anyway, there was just like the fight between whether Freeman should be starting or Mike Glennon. And when that's happening, you don't want to put that on TV.
I don't know if that's going to be a ratings bonanza.
That's not, definitely not. So, but this year, it's a good year because you got the addition of DeSean Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Mike Evans, who just got picked up for the fifth year option. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston. I almost said Josh Freeman. Jameis Winston is playing really good. He's a good leader, he's a goofball. You know, he's had issues in the past.
But, I mean, I think he'll be good for the camera. You know what I mean?
He'll definitely be good for the camera. And I think that, and I had this weird, I said in the blog, I had this weird thought in my head that being on Hard Knocks is going to make the Bucks better. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I have this theory that the media makes an NFL player, especially in the NFL. The more that the media harps on one guy or a team or a coach or anything, the more this team does better. It's happened with Luke Kuechly, who's a good linebacker, and I do have a grudge against him. But this guy is like, they praise him to be this, like, this, you know, the second coming. But he has very mediocre numbers over the last few years. And there's other linebackers that nobody talks about that are better than him. But it's because the media decides to go on him. But he rises to the occasion. I think that with everybody like getting to know like the guys, like I think name recognition is going to be huge, because there's guys in the Bucs defense that nobody knows that are they're unsung heroes for that team. Lavonte David's one of them. He's going into his fifth or sixth year now at the Bucs. And he's been in the top 10 for tackles every year he's been in the league, mostly in the top 5. Quan Alexander is going into his third year, and he's been an animal. Last year he finished in third in tackles, and he's in he's been great with sacks. So is Lavonte David. So like guys like that that nobody really knows, like kind of bring it to the forefront. But it'll be cool to see DeSean Jackson, because I'm sure he'll have a lot to say, and you know, I mean, he'll be a nice like TV draw. For the Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, kind of piggybacking on your point, but I think that's kind of what happened with the Cowboys this year. I mean, they going in, obviously they expected Romo to be the starter. Then all of a sudden, Dak Prescott is coming in. I mean, they were not expected to be the number one seed in the NFC.
No way.
But, I mean, all of a sudden they're playing every week in prime time. People are getting to know their name. And, you know, now all of a sudden they're winning games and maybe they shouldn't be winning. I mean, you know, it proved that they were a fraud team in the playoffs, but still, it's going
to
help them.
There's something to be said for an NFL player to go home after a game and turn on the TV and to see, like, people praising their names or to even know their names, to, like, bring them up in, like, a broadcast. I think it's a psychological thing. It's obviously just a psychological thing.
Right.
But it could be a real thing, so who knows? I mean, I know last year was the Rams. Did not help them.
Did not.
But
when you have Jeff Fisher.
But also, the Rams weren't very good to begin with. The right. Bucs are on the verge of being something. Like, they were in the playoff picture until the very end last year.
Yeah.
So, and they got beat out by one of the Super Bowl teams who absolutely just fucking laid an egg in the Super Bowl. But so I'm excited. I'm just excited to see my guys on TV.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool. And on HBO, I mean, Hard Knocks and HBO does really sports series, sports documentaries better than maybe them and ESPN. I mean, ESPN does good 30 for 30s, but the 30 for 30s are a little different. That's more of like a historical biography type thing, whereas Hard Knocks is action packed, you know, in the moment type sports stuff. So I think HBO obviously does a great job with it. There's a reason they've been doing it for so long. And it's gonna be cool. I think it's gonna be a positive impact on the Bucs, and like you said, they're a good team. So,
and they have the Bucs have a very unique fan base. They're kind of like the Raiders. They're kind of like the East Coast Raiders. They have like everybody dresses up. It's like Gasparilla. It's, you know, it's Mardi Gras beads. It's the pirate ship in the end zone. It's a very special culture, and they have a really cool. They have one of the best play-by-play announcers in the NFL. Gene Deckerhoff has a very unique voice. When you hear him, you know who it is. Like, he's a very unique voice, and he's been the voice of the Bucs since back when they drafted Sapp and Brooks and like Lynch and those guys. Like, he's been doing it forever, and there's a very unique atmosphere to like playing in Tampa that not a lot of people get to see, and I'm sure they're going to highlight all that.
The game was a ton of fun that we went to.
It's a great time. Playing in warm weather all year round, it's a different atmosphere. Oh, tailgating at the games, it's totally different.
Fans are always on their A game. It helps with the home crowd.
Yeah, a lot of people say it's not real football. They want you to be up at Lambeau or Gillette Stadium freezing your ass off. It is fun.
I'd much rather be in Tampa, Florida, where it's 80 degrees than
all year round.
Foxborough, Massachusetts, where it's zero.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited. But what's happening out west now?
Well,
what's
going on with the 49ers? A former Buck is GM, John Lynch.
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
So we got John Lynch. We got Kyle Shanahan, fresh off a wonderful Super Bowl win. You know, he's got a lot of momentum going forward. No, wait. He blew it.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Everybody blamed him. Wasn't the players. Let's blame the new 49ers coach. You play against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, unless you're Eli Manning, you're going to lose. Those are the rules.
Sure.
But I'm excited. I mean, you got a young GM. We had to get Trent Baalke out of there. Ever since he got rid of Harbaugh, it's like, all right, you know, they really sucked for the most part of the entire 2000s, really. Yeah. I mean, they had a good year here and there, but nothing consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have decent years, but their division for a long time was awful. So they really had no excuse. Now the Seahawks, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, Seahawks have been good. Cardinals, I thought, were good. Then they laid an egg last year, and the Rams have just always sucked. So they really, besides the Seahawks, who, you know, outside of the two Super Bowl years, you know, I mean, they were good, but...
Yeah, they've been...
I mean, last year they were middle of the pack. They won the division by default. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm glad they have some fresh faces in there. John Lynch is unproven as a GM, so who knows what the hell he's going to do. He's got the number two pick. I mean, they have the second overall pick, so I don't know if they're going to trade for... I mean, if they do trade that pick, then it's probably going to be for a quarterback. I can't imagine them trading for anyone else because they can get anyone else with that number two pick.
Right now they have Hoyer.
They have Hoyer. They have Matt Barkley.
And they still have
Kaepernick. I think Kaepernick opted out.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent. And nobody's signing him because he is who he is.
He'll be on a team week one. But yeah. Right now it's like the time where you don't want to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody wants that press because, you know, he's outspoken about stuff. Yeah. So.
No fan base also. No fan base is going to want him competing for a job in that area.
It's different when you're competing for a job in training camp or someone's hurt. We need a guy to come in. Oh, here he comes. All right. That's a little different. You know, you're not – I just think it's a different feeling. So I think you're right. He'll probably stay unsigned for a while until someone gets hurt, which it always does.
Yeah.
And they'll need a backup, or they'll need someone to spot start a couple games.
Sure.
But, I mean, if I'm the 49ers, I'm keeping the second overall pick.
And draft someone. And I draft agree someone. With you. I totally agree with
you. I mean, in the mock drafts on NFL.com, they have the 49ers taking – there was four guys who did mock drafts. Two of them picked the same guy, and then two other ones picked two different guys. So it's two defensive ends. One is Solomon Thomas from Stanford. Miles Garrett from Texas A&M, both defensive ends.
Yeah.
And one's Jamal Adams, a safety out of LSU. Of the three, if they're going to pick a guy, I would rather them get Jamal Adams.
The safety?
Yeah. Just like from briefly watching tape and reading scouting reports and stuff on the guy, he's the only one that he has more than just the physical capabilities.
He's smart,
like everyone
he
else,
smart.
It's... Speed, strength.
Sure.
Well, they're 20 years old, and they're going to be professional athletes. I know they're fast and strong. But this guy, supposedly, he's just like a hard hitter. He's a downfield safety. Not necessarily going to match up anybody in coverage, but from all the scouting reports you read, he's a leader. And he's one of the best leaders LSU's had in a decade.
Yeah.
And he's like an instant game changer when you bring him into a locker room, especially a young 49ers defense, young head coach. You match him and Eric Reed up in the secondary, I think, I don't know, I think good things. They need something like that.
Yeah.
I don't expect the 49ers to go 10-6 next year or 9-7. I mean, they're probably going to go 6-9 or, you know, 7-9 or something. That's just what it is, especially without really a good quarterback. But I would like them to get someone who at least can make them, like Tampa Bay being on Hard Knocks, at least to the national media. Hey, the 49ers suck, but Jamal Adams is having a great year, and he's going to be a star to come instead of getting, you know, a defensive end who might get you 7 or 8 sacks.
Well,
they need something. With second overall pick, you need a standout.
In general, there needs to be more of that in the NFL.
Yeah.
There needs to be more than just, like, the few teams they keyed in on. Like, last year, it was the Cowboys. You didn't put on ESPN and hear anything else other than what's going on with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. That's it. That's all you heard on ESPN last year. So it would be nice to, like, you know, it would be cool to, like, check in. That actually would be a kind of a cool segment on, like, SportsCenter or something, like, when they check in on, like, maybe the first round picks and see, like, what they're doing and where they stand and, like, the thing. They don't do it that often.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I pulled the transaction history for the last 2 months of the 49ers.
Yeah.
Not that exciting. I mean, in April, they signed Tim Hightower, who I think could be a good addition, but you have Carlos Hyde, so really how much is he going to be doing?
Yeah.
And then they signed a linebacker, Jason Demanche.
I don't know.
They released a cornerback, and they signed an offensive lineman.
Yeah, so very, very
I mean,
pedestrian moves.
Their biggest moves were Brian Hoyer and Pierre Garçon. And the fullback. I do like the fullback they signed from the Ravens. Kyle Juszczyk.
He's good.
And I think that's going to help the run game. And Brian Hoyer, I don't know if a lot of people know this listening to the podcast. I am the worst jinx in the world for Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
2 years in a row, I picked up Brian Hoyer on a Thursday because my for fantasy football. Picked him up Thursday morning to spot start him because my quarterback I drafted was injured. I mean, was on a bye. And he was hurt in the first quarter of both those games.
Yep.
Two different teams.
It's unreal. It's unreal how you did it.
And now he's playing for my 49ers and probably going to start. I mean, if he doesn't beat out Blaine Gabbert, retire.
Yeah.
That's what Kaepernick should have done when he lost the starting job.
Yeah.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert, it's actually a statistic. He's thrown more passes to the other team than his receivers in his career.
Really?
No, but.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, you know what?
Isn't that believable?
I would have had to search that. Like, yeah. Instead of being totally ridiculous and being like, no, that can't be true, I would have had to Google that.
All right. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be exciting to have them have the second overall pick because you'd hope that they can't, you know, screw that up. Obviously, if you pick a guy who's great in college and he ends up being a bust, what are you going
to
do?
They need to take that pick. They need to draft that guy.
Because, again, if you're going to trade it for – unless you're trading that pick for, like, a legit proven, like, on the tier of, like, trying to think who's, like, a good middle-of-the-pack quarterback. See, I wouldn't mind trading it for someone like that. Like, obviously not someone who's, like, a Luck or who I'm trying to – who's, like a good –
middle of the pack guy?
Maybe like a Jameis Winston.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if someone that skill level. Yeah. Then, okay, you can have the number two. Because now you know at the very worst he's going to be pretty much a franchise quarterback.
Sure, sure, yeah, yeah.
But if you're just going to be like, oh, we'll trade him for someone of the skill of, like, a Brian Hoyer.
There's a big – if you're not an old quarterback right now in the NFL, there's a big drop-off between, like, the good guys and then – like, no, there's only a few guys in between, like middle-of-the-pack guys. Like you said, Winston, I can't even really off the top of my head, like, I'm trying to think.
Because he's, like, just a tier below, like, a Matt Ryan, like, and a Brady.
Maybe, I mean, Russell, would you consider Russell Wilson in the top tier?
No, he'd be a little lower. I think so.
I mean, the top is what? It's Brady, it's Aaron Rodgers.
I think Matt Ryan now, after this year.
Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in the league, like, 15 years.
You think
years.
Drew Brees?
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. Alright, yeah, what did you... Oh, without Brandon Cooks now?
Oh. The rich get richer.
Oh my God, I can't believe the Patriots had Brandon Cooks.
Unbelievable.
It's the most underrated or under, like, talked about, like, pickup in free agency.
It's unreal. And they just signed, right? They didn't even have to give up anything, or they gave up nothing pretty much.
Oh, I mean, this is the Patriots. When they get somebody, they give up nothing. Yeah. They traded LeGarrette Blount, the guy who's been great for them the last 3 years, they traded what the hell is his name? Michael Demps.
Led the league in rushing touchdowns this year.
He led the league. He traded him to the Bucks. He never played a down in Tampa. This has happened. This has happened way too many times. The Bucks signed back in like 2006. The Bucks traded for Jake Plummer, and Jake Plummer got traded to the Bucks and then retired. He never played a down in Tampa. He didn't even show up to camp. He just retired.
Now that I'm on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I officially retire. Wait, what?
I was like, this is ridiculous. This can't happen. Like, this, they traded for fucking Jake Plummer, and then he retired. How does that happen? So, the Hard Knocks is going to turn that luck around this year, though.
I believe. I like rooting for the Bucs.
And I think the 49ers are going to finish better than six this year. I think better than six wins.
I hope so.
And I hope the Bucs continue their, like, being good. That's fun for me.
Just being it in the last week of the season.
Just making it so they could possibly win a game every week has changed my life. Like, I mean, back when I first started being I was a Bucs fan. I mean, I started in, like, the fifth or sixth grade. So it was a few years before they won the Super Bowl. They weren't, like, great, but then, like, you know, John Gruden came in, they won the Super Bowl. It was awesome, but it's been literally downhill since then.
Yeah.
Coach after coach has come in and left, so this is fun for me. Yeah, I like Dirk Cotter. I like the coach. So I think everybody else, I think America will like Dirk Cotter too. He's a total Florida football coach.
Yeah.
He wears the visor. He's like Gruden. He's a Florida football coach. You know, the light colored hair. He's got the visor, you know, shorts, Tommy Bahama shirts.
Remarkably tan.
Very tan.
He always looks very tan. I mean, it makes sense if you live in Florida. But.
Yeah, so.
So I know you have, moving on from the NFL, you have a bone to pick.
I have a bone to pick with a couple people right now. One of them...
Yeah, your grievances.
I'm going to air them. All right, we'll start with Nintendo.
Okay.
I love Nintendo. I've loved Nintendo since my fifth birthday when my grandfather got me a Super Nintendo. My first video game system was a Super Nintendo. Came with Super Mario World. Great game. Nintendo recently being in November, 5 months ago, a little more than 5 months ago, they released the NES Classic. It's the original Nintendo, shrunk down into like palm-sized, and you can play. It comes with an original NES controller, and inside of it is 30 games from the original Nintendo system. Already built into it, you just plug it into your TV and you can play all the games. There's save states on it, so you can save games. It comes with like a lot of the classic games like Zelda, Metroid Prime, Mario 2, Mario 3, all like the classic Donkey Kong, all like the classic games. It was very limited release at first, and they said that over the next few months they were gonna release more of them. But they haven't been getting into the stores, and all the people that get them have just been grabbing them and putting them on eBay and like selling them for 2-3 times what they're worth. This week, Nintendo, I got into the impression, I'm like, all right, well, if I can't get one in like Target or GameStop, I'm just going to wait until they come out and they're everywhere, and then I'll get one. Nintendo decides this week that they're going to discontinue it, so they're not making them anymore. So I panicked, and I went on eBay, and I ended up paying 2 times what it's worth and bought it. It's not bad. It's $60 normally, so I paid $120 for it. But it's brand new in the box, so I'm pissed that I had to pay double what this fucking $60 thing should cost. It just bothers me, and I don't know why people were so hot on this thing. I do not know why they would stop. Basically, they said, we're going to stop printing money, because people were buying these things left and right. Like, everybody wanted these things, and they decided, that's it, we're cutting them off, that's it, no more.
Are they releasing something in its place?
No, that's it, it's gone. So what the plan is, I think, now that this thing was so popular, this like little like one-off, it's not even one of their main consoles, they're fucking rolling in money right now. They just released the Nintendo Switch, which is like their new, like, official TV console. They just released it March 3rd, and they already sold almost 1 million in a month. They almost sold, which is the fastest selling video game console of all time. The Zelda game that's on it is the fastest selling video game of all time. So they're doing very well right now. But what I think they're doing is they made the NES Classic. I think they're going to make, which is the next one in the line, is the Super Nintendo. It came out like the mid-90s. They're going to make one, like a mini version of that, and they're going to sell that.
I'm sure it's going to sell. What about a mini
N64? I'm sure they're just going to go up the line all the way.
If they make a mini N64 and put the WCW, NWO sold out video game,
they have to.
I'll spend $100,000.
And so I think one of the biggest gripe with the people who were going to buy the NES Classic, it only had 30 games on it, which obviously leaves a big chunk of the library out. And they obviously, you know, some people wanted certain games that weren't on it. So I think that in future ones, they're going to try and add like a ton of games to them. So I'm sure they'll have the Super Nintendo, then they'll have the N64, then they'll have the GameCube, all of it. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah,
N64 would be sweet. I actually have an N64 in my house.
You do?
Yeah.
You do? It's always fun to go back and play those games. And the cool thing about this is like, you don't have to worry about whether your games work or not. You don't have to find these games, because a lot of them now are very expensive. Like, to go back and buy, say, Super Mario 3, you got to spend like $30-$40 on just the game.
Yeah.
And if you find it, if it works. And to find a console that works. This plugs in HDMI to your TV. You get like a brand new controller. So it's like nice, but then Nintendo just pulls the fucking rug right off from underneath you.
Is it still owned by the Japanese?
Yeah.
Nintendo?
Yeah. I mean, it's big in America. It's still huge in America, but it's even bigger in Japan. So
I was just wondering. Can I ask a question?
Nintendo of America is huge. Like, it's massive. And this is the type of stuff they do. They hone in on people's nostalgia, which we both agree. Nostalgia is one of the most powerful tools.
Oh, God, it's so strong. It's a great advertising tool. It really is.
It's the best. And companies that don't use nostalgia, they're not doing it right. Look at this. Nintendo's they just recycled something that they did 25 years ago, and they're making
There's tons. Nothing new about it.
No, there's nothing new about it. It's all the same games. It looks exact. It's smaller. It outputs HDMI. The controller is literally the exact same thing. It's the same controller. So I'm pissed, but I'm happy now that I got
it.
Pissed that I had to pay double what I think. So, but I'm happy that I got it. So my other gripe, and I don't want to like gripe for too long.
That's all right. Grievance time.
Kickstarter. So I'm gonna tell you a little quick story here. Back in July 2016, let's say, I went on Kickstarter, And you know Kickstarter.
Like, yeah.
You can, this guy, I was actually sent there from Mythbusters. The Mythbusters guy, Adam Savage, he recommended this thing on Twitter. This guy designed this poster about this size, a 24 by 36. It's all the gear that the astronauts took with them on the Apollo 11 mission. So it's like cameras and it's like screwdrivers and wrench, but it's all laid out, all the little tools, and underneath them, they're all labeled. And it's this beautiful, like, navy blue poster with silver ink, like all the items are in silver. It's a beautiful poster. So it was like $25. I kickstarted it. I gave $25 so he would, when it's done, he would send me one in the mail. This guy, Rob Lubica, or I think that's his name, Lubica. The delivery date was supposed to be September of 2016. I have yet to get it, and a lot of the other people that kickstarted have yet to get it too. And this guy has basically been like a dick. He has a website where he designs posters. He's selling the same poster that I should be getting and shipping them out, but he has not shipped the original poster like to the people who backed him.
Is he responding to any emails? Or
he didn't respond for like 5 months, and then finally he responded and said it's because he's depressed. He has depression. Which, listen, if you suffer from depression, it's not a joke.
No, like, it's not.
It's not a joke. Listen, guy, you're just being a dick. The first thing he says on Kickstarter, you can go to his page, like where you kickstarted it, and you can look at all his, like, the conversations he has with people, and, like, he posts updates. He posted an update, and the first line of the update, since he went, like, cold black out and didn't talk to anybody, the first line was he was promoting two other posters that he designed. If you want to go to my website and order these, and then at the bottom of it was like, oh, and by the way, I'm slowly shipping out the rest of these posters. So I'm pissed. Like, I'm heated. Like, I don't need the poster, like, right away. But at least, like, September 2016 to now April 2017.
It's going on 8 months. That's...
Just ship it out. Like, this guy, ship it out. And then he shipped out a bunch, and I still haven't got mine. Some people got theirs, but other people still haven't gotten...
That's frustrating.
It's just a mess. So Kickstarter, I'm putting you to task right now, because you have people like this running around on Kickstarter. I've had great experience with Kickstarter up until this guy. I've kickstarted about, like, I think 15 or 16 things. But this guy's really, really pissing me off. I want my fucking poster.
Yeah. That's not too much to ask for.
It's not. I paid for it.
Especially when you put the money up front.
I paid for that shit. We the backers on Kickstarter, were the reason why this guy could have them printed in the first place. And then this mother flipping son of a bitch, he has the nerve to start making other posters.
Yeah. Probably, that's even worse.
Probably starting these other posters with the capital he got from the Kickstarter backers from when I kickstarted it.
Yeah.
So fuck that.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely using that money.
Send me my goddamn Apollo poster.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
Send me it now. It is a Ponzi scheme. Send me it. It's fucking bullshit. I emailed Kickstarter, and I also messaged this guy. I found him on Twitter, and I haven't been kind to him.
You shouldn't be, though. I have 8 months is, it's not like, oh, it's a couple weeks, it's a month. Like, 8 months now, you're getting into a completely different year.
It's unacceptable. Also,
almost halfway through.
Find someone, hire somebody to ship them out.
Right.
You have to do something. You can't just sit around and blame it on your depression. No. You can't. You have to figure out something.
No.
Sorry.
I agree.
You got to figure out something. So that's my grievances. That's what I'm airing. I aired them.
Feel better?
I am one with the grievance now, because I got my Nintendo. I actually came into the mail today, the Nintendo Classic, and I'm still not satisfied with Kickstarter. So,
well, once you get the poster, it'll be good.
Yeah, until I find his house address.
And then it starts up again.
And then it starts up again. I'm gonna go outside every night and play, I don't know, Slayer on as loud as I possibly can.
But you play it on the guitar.
But he's actually down the street a couple houses, and I'm screaming his name, and he's like, but hey, Matt, like, I'm over here. That's not my house. Some other guy. It's a cop. I get arrested.
Steal the chandelier from Tiffany's.
I was just gonna say that. I steal the chandelier. I tell her I go to Germany, but I go to Mexico. I don't trust her.
Oh, Dwight Schrute. So before we get to what we've been up to in the last week, there was shocking to me, pretty shocking news this morning. Former Patriot tight end Aaron Hernandez, who was in jail he was convicted of murder and then just was found not guilty on two separate counts, but found dead in his prison cell. Apparently, I mean, who knows if it was a suicide or what it was, but obviously on social media, everybody from sports reporters to celebrities to just random people who have a Twitter account have pretty severe views on it. You know, this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I don't think it's wrong to say that it's sad. Like, when I say it's sad, I'm not saying, oh, poor Aaron Hernandez. The guy's got a four-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
The guy, it's the that my favorite movie quote of all time is from A Bronx Tale. Saddest thing in life is wasted talent. I mean, this guy had the world by the balls, the most talent you could ask for. You're a professional athlete. You're playing for the greatest team in the world.
The greatest team in the world.
What causes you, you know, I mean, no, obviously nobody cares to look into that aspect of what causes you to go ahead and murder somebody. And then now either take your own life or whatever had happened to him. I mean, it's such a – it's a tragedy. It's a sad end to what should have been a really cool story for you know, professional – it's just I think it happens too often. You know, it doesn't happen a lot, but it once or twice is too often
it's
to
too
have
often,
things like
yeah.
this happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on it?
I thought – and I was telling you this earlier.
Yeah.
I thought – When I first heard about it this morning, I thought the whole day was going to be filled with people being like, they were sad for Aaron Hernandez. And I don't think that's the right stance to take. And luckily, like, though I still have faith in the world, it wasn't like that. It's exactly what you said. Wasted talent, wasted life. It's the saddest thing in the world. He was a scumbag. You know what I mean? He got at some point in his life, he got caught up with the wrong people. And he just made terrible, terrible life choices. And he's a murderer. I mean, at the end of the day, he got off on those murders.
He had the same lawyer as Casey Anthony, though, for the last trial. So, you know, was it that he was not guilty in the court of law?
Yeah.
Court of public opinion might be a different story.
Also, OJ was.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Guilty.
Also, OJ was not guilty. So, I mean, the.
So,
yeah. I don't. That,
but
that doesn't
it's
mean anything, but.
So, but it is. It is when we wasted talent. When you see it anywhere, is sad. And this just goes to show, like, there needs to be. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't going, like, signing his Patriots tender, and then he started getting, like, mixed up with bad people. I'm sure this happened way earlier in his life. You know what I mean?
Where's he from?
That's a good question.
He went to Florida.
I know he went to Florida, but you don't know where he's from, like, originally? But it just goes to show, it's like, you got to start when they're young. You got to make sure that, like, you know what I mean, the youth.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. He was born in Connecticut.
Okay. Really?
Because a lot of times, I bet he went to school in Florida because, all right, I'm away from whatever the hell I was doing in high school going into college. Now you get signed by the Patriots. You're living, a half hour away from your hometown, Bristol, Connecticut?
Yeah. You get caught up with
caught up
a bunch
with that
of the
again.
Kids. Yeah.
I mean, it happens. It's sad because, and you know, you can't blame the NFL. You can't blame the Patriots. I mean, this is.
No. You can't. Yeah, he made his own. He made. His
yeah, 28 sense. Years old. You know when all this happened, he was in his mid 20s. Yeah. He had to take responsibility for it. It's just the whole thing is just sucks.
It's tragic.
It is.
It's tragic. And then he killed himself, which is like one of the most tragic things that can happen to a person. You get to the point where you'd rather be dead.
But like, I mean, he could have appealed the conviction, but even then, I mean,
I think
life,
just,
no parole.
I think he just knew the writing on the wall, and also. He seemed like the type of person where he wasn't gonna let the man get him down.
Yeah,
that's a
like
very cliche thing to say, but you know what
well,
I mean.
Yeah, he's like,
he's
well,
a
I'm gonna go on my terms. Yeah.
Exactly. He wasn't gonna be locked up in jail for the rest of his life.
Right. Which.
So.
Yeah, it is, but it was sad. But I wanted to at least talk about it because it was a huge story. So, but I think we're in agreement on that. So now what we're up to last. Week or so. I know you. I mean, what you've been up
to
is literally under my elbows.
Yeah, I've been building this table, and actually, like I was telling you before, this project like came to me like the table we were on before was not well. First of all, we started off on the desk. It just wasn't a great thing. There wasn't a lot of room for like if we wanted to set up cameras eventually and start recording this again. But I just had the idea where like I just need a nice like big space where we can set up and maybe have like four people on a podcast at once.
It's perfect. I really like it a lot.
So it's gonna be great for that. So I went last week. I went to Lowe's. Actually, when did I go? Yeah, last week. I went to Lowe's last week. I picked up. I had the wood cut to the size I wanted. I took it to my parents' house because my dad has this nice little like wood shop in the basement. Has all the tools that I need. You know, made the molding with his help and. You know, stained the wood, painted the outside black. You like this, like
I
the two tone look?
Looks nice.
And like, it's just like functional the way I want it. I could have gone out to IKEA and bought a table or a desk or whatever. But like, I wanted the groove in the middle to feed all the wires through. I wanted it to be nice and like the legs are very simple. They're just metal pipes screwed together. I just wanted it very simple, a nice clean surface for us to podcast on. It looks super official.
Looks awesome.
I mean, when you see us down here, that way if we ever someday have guests.
Yeah.
They'll come down here and they won't want to run out of here.
Right.
It's like, oh. Crowding around my little computer desk.
Hit a lock, click behind them, that's it. That's it. I mean, that's it.
No, you're going to murder me now. No. So this is what I've been up to. I've been doing this, and I've also been watching New Girl on Netflix, but that's not exciting.
I've also been watching New Girl on Netflix.
Oh, we share that in common.
We do. Winnie the Bee.
Winnie the Bish.
Winnie the Bish. He's the man. So what I've been up to, the big change for me is I'm now a fiancé. My betrothed. So got engaged. Betrothed.
That's a word.
Oh, huh? I love that. Jeff Mello uses it all the time.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So now I call Holly my betrothed.
So it's like an endearing term for your
significant when I say my betrothed, I say it's the person I'm engaged to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
So it's like a medieval term, I don't know, whatever it is.
I like
it.
You should use
it more often. And you were gracious enough to come and take some wonderful pictures. Now we have a remembrance of it, you know, so it's not just me and her. Cause I mean, I don't know. That was important to have like a picture of it, and it's like a way you can share it with other people.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you have the ring and stuff, but you know, that was just, it's a nice way to be able to share it. Like, I can put it on Facebook, and now that's how my grandma sees it.
Yeah.
You know, so she can see pictures of that, stuff like that. So
the day worked out perfectly. I mean, you came down the place where we shot, where Ryan proposed. It was down near the water, actually, where I work and where Ryan's mom works at Save the Bay in Providence. It was the perfect time of day. It was golden hour. Everything just came together perfectly. You happened to be right in the right spot, and we had very minimal communications because we didn't want to screw anything up.
Matt, are you in position?
What is happening?
Did you see the woman who was there, like, by herself?
I think that I saw her walk up because she saw me just kind of hanging out with the camera, like, sitting in the bushes, so...
I'm glad she walked away because that might have been the last straw for her. I don't know why she was there by herself, but if she's like, oh, you know, I just need some peace and quiet, don't want to be bothered, oh, he's proposing. He's proposing to that woman, and I'm here all alone.
She would have probably just went down to the water and just walked into the ocean and just never came back.
So I'm glad she walked away before I actually did it for her sake and our sake.
You guys,
yeah, it was nice.
It was beautiful. I was so – I can't even imagine how nervous you were, so I'm not gonna turn this into a me thing, but – I was so nervous just to get the pictures correct, and then also I was feeling like the flood of emotions of you guys getting engaged, like two of my like best friends, like getting engaged, and so it was just like, I was like flooded with emotions, but I was also making sure I was like getting the pictures.
You
so imagine if
job.
I just started crying and I just didn't take any pictures.
I didn't take any pictures. I'm sorry. No, it couldn't have worked out better though.
Did you hear that? Is that Matt? Is he sobbing?
Did you invite him here? I actually didn't invite him here.
And I told you I skateboarded down. Like, I parked my car at the top. And I skateboarded down, and I hadn't skateboarded in a while. And skateboarding is hard. I almost killed myself like three times.
I wouldn't have made it. I can't skateboard for sure.
At the end, I just picked it up and walked with it.
Well,
I couldn't do it.
I appreciate you helping out. It was a nice night.
Anytime.
And now we're looking at wedding venues.
Whoa, you got any places in mind, or is that like under wraps?
We haven't looked at any. We've just been looking online.
Yeah.
There's a couple in Mass and one in Portsmouth.
Ooh.
They're all like outdoor, because we're not doing a church. It's
nice.
It's gonna be like Mike D's, where the reception and the ceremony is gonna be either outside, or there's some that have like an inside like barn area.
Yeah,
not like Shroot Farms, like an actual nice barn. It's cow shit everywhere. But and then the reception will be on site.
Nice, very cool.
So I mean, looking at that, once we find one we really like, then we'll have to look into like, all right, what's around it, because we're not just going to send be like, hey, take the 2-hour drive. Good luck getting back, sucker.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know, just things like that to look into. But we're already getting going. Like I said, it'll be, I'd say, maybe a 12 to 15-month engagement.
Nice.
So this time to July of next year.
Whoa.
Will happen.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. Unless, like, there was a reason to prolong it. But there's not.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
We did it. I mean, I want to do it. Weddings are so much fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
you're probably going to have a blast of your own. You know?
Exactly. So yeah. I'm excited for that.
Cool, man. Well, that's
just
amazing.
A minor change.
It's amazing
in my life,
stuff. Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little change. Nothing huge.
No, nothing huge.
So, yeah. Well, you got anything else on the docket? I think we're fresh out of ideas for this episode.
I think that was this episode. We hit the hard knocks. We hit the 49ers, your grievances.
My grievances.
Aaron Hernandez, and then just kind of a little social catch up.
Yeah. This has been awesome. Getting back on the podcast. Yeah. It feels like we've been doing it since the beginning, but we obviously we had that big break in between.
Right.
But it's good to get back on there. For anybody that's listening, if you want to call into the podcast and leave us a comment or a question, we actually have been getting a ton of calls over at Make Movies Great Again. So it would be awesome if you could call us, Ryan and Matt, on the Average Nobody's podcast. So our number is 401-285-8120. If you call, it's going to go straight to a voicemail. Leave the voicemail, and we'll play it on the show. We don't really do live callers on here. We could, but we just want to do voicemails for now. And we'll play it. We'll play it on the show, and you'll be able to hear it when you listen back to it. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Average Nobody's, and you'll this podcast and our other one will pop up. But subscribe and rate our podcast. That'd be great. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/TheAverageNobodies. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/AverageNobodies. Check us out on Twitter, @AverageNobodies.
Got a lot of likes today on a tweet.
That was a good tweet.
I made fun of the president today. So that's what I did today at work.
In your defense,
I thought it was funny.
There was a few people that were a little sour about it.
Yeah, some guy called me ignorant.
In your defense, that is a low-hanging fruit for a joke. If anybody was holding that shirt with the 45 jersey.
And I was nice about it. I didn't
swear.
So I said, oh, it was nice of them to give Trump a jersey with his IQ on the back.
Hilarious.
He said Trump 45, which it's probably not that far off.
That would have been funny if Albert Einstein was holding the jersey.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And then of course, right? Now, my tweet literally said, it was nice of them to give Trump a jersey with his IQ on the back of it, right?
Yeah.
Did I mention Barack Obama anywhere in there?
No.
Well, of course, the first comment, it's higher than Barry's IQ. So I responded, Bonds? Question mark?
I saw that.
Why? They cannot help themselves, but could be like, well, Barack Obama's worse. He's stupider.
There's a problem if the first thing you go to defend Trump is instead of saying he's not dumb, you say he's not as dumb
as someone else.
As ex, you know what I mean?
Like, of all people to pick, who am I going to pick? The guy who created Trump steaks or the guy who graduated from Harvard? I don't know. But yeah, Twitter @AverageNobodies, where we tweet as much as we can. And our Twitter is linked to our blog, as is our Facebook pretty much. So
yeah.
Any of our blog posts, not only do you get our hysterical, whimsical tweets, you'll get all our blog posts through Twitter, but you can always go on the blog, AverageNobodies.com, too.
And we're always looking for writers.
Yeah.
We're always looking for writers. We write a lot about, like we said in the intro at the top of the show, you know, we're beer drinkers, movie quarters, pop culture connoisseurs. We write about everything. Mm-hmm. But if you have a specific thing you would like to write about and you're looking for an outlet for your blog posts, hit us up on Twitter. Send us a DM and we'd love to get you writing for Average Nobody. So all you have to do is send us a sample. We'll read it. And
you're pretty much in. I mean, we've had writers in the past that unfortunately they haven't, you know, been able to do it consistently for whatever reason, which is fine. But hey, I mean, content. We'd love to have you write for us. So,
All right. Well, I think that's it. Until next week, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
So I need to figure out a better way to close the
nice
show.
Nice kishta.
Maybe I'll just play the intro.
I think we'll see you next week, and then you repeat. We'll see you next week. I think that's a good way to close.
Well, we'll see you next week. All right. Thanks, Ryan.